Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it.
The Debatables,
part of the Almighty Baller Radio Network.
Jimmy starts the drive, step back in the air.
Oh, heavy step back and kiss myself. Big time plays, big time plays. Woo!
Butler. Talking about the Chicago Bulls and NBA.
Your best source for coverage from the madhouse on Madison.
The ceiling is the roof.
In one corner, host Jordan Malley.
His talk about patience with this team and his talk about direction. He says that the level of patience needs to come with fans and that this thing can't happen overnight. Well, obviously it can't happen overnight, but where have we gone in the last 3 years that says that we have any type of future?
And in the other corner, co-host Matt Peck.
But there are plenty of people out there in Bulls fandom who might look at that potential playoff matchup and say, hey, they can upset the one or the two seed. Maybe they'll get to the conference finals. Maybe they'll get to the finals. There are Bulls fans out there dumb enough to believe that. If you consider yourself one of that population, I say for shame, wake the f*** up. But those people, those Bulls fans do exist.
Looking, finds Rose. Rose trying to get open, fires away. Bang! It's over! The Bulls win at the buzzer!
Kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
That's our goal, to get younger, at positions to get more athletic, and at the same time to retool, not rebuild.
The Debatables starts now.
Well, I guess that's my cue. What's up and welcome. Thanks for joining us here on The Debatables. My name is Jordan Malley, alongside my brand new co-host in Matt Peck. We're here to talk to you about the Chicago Bulls. Today's episode is sponsored by Steiner Sports Memorabilia. Steiner Sports is the leading producer of authentic sports memorabilia and hand-signed collectibles, from game-used jerseys to autographed pictures and so much more. Whether you're looking to add something to your man cave or simply want to continue your collection, Steiner Sports has you covered. When listeners use the promo code ALMIGHTY at checkout, you'll receive 20% off your purchases. Yes, that's 20% by using the promo code ALMIGHTY. Steiner Sports, steinersports.com, the leading producer in authentic sports memorabilia. Matt Peck is our brand new co-host. What's up, Matt? How are you?
I'm doing great, Jordan. I'm stoked to be here with you. I had a great time as a guest on the Debatables. What was that, about a month or so ago?
Yeah, and it had to be about a month.
Very, very ecstatic to be jumping into the co-host here next to you, man.
I'm excited as well. I think me and Matt, I feel like, are on the same wavelength when it comes to this team. So if you're frustrated with the direction of this team, to say the very least, I think you're going to enjoy both of us together. So let's get down to business here. We have a lot to talk about. So the Bulls' last game, it took them, of course, 82 games to figure out whether they were going to make the playoffs or not. Run me through this game if you didn't get a chance to catch it, and show that the Bulls ended up winning.
Well, I think it's fitting, Jordan, just to start off by saying that, hey, look at this. The Bulls finished 41-41, a season after going 42-40, and an offseason where you thought, man, did this roster actually get that much better? Fortunately for them, with their backs against the wall, they needed a win. You know, the Pacers and the Heat both got wins in their final games, so the Bulls needed this one. And the Brooklyn Nets just completely phoned it in. They looked like a team that was ready for summer vacation. They didn't play Brook Lopez. They didn't play Jeremy Lin. They sat three or four other of their key guys for quote-unquote rest, which really, if you're the worst team in the league and you're not playoff bound, what exactly are you resting for in the 82nd game, right? And I feel like the Heat took a lot of the Heat's fandom, I guess, knowing that they needed to get a loss from Chicago or Indiana, were displeased with the way that Brooklyn handled their final game. But you can't really blame them. I mean, what's to play for in that 82nd game? So really, the Bulls just get a gift in this game that they needed to win and destroy Brooklyn. 112-73 was the final, and really, it didn't even seem that close. The Bulls ran away with it from the onset. these scrubs that were playing for Brooklyn were turning the ball over constantly. Jimmy Butler got off to an aggressive start. Some of the other guys chipped in. Paul Zipser had a career-high 21 off the bench. And that's basically what it came down to. A Brooklyn team that had no interest in being dressed and on the court, and a Bulls team that essentially just backed their way into the final playoff spot.
A Nets team that normally if you're a team that's just missed the playoffs, or a team that maybe next year you're on the verge of making the playoffs, this is the time for those players maybe in the last game that hardly saw the floor, or even guys that are trying to prove themselves for next year or years after that. The Nets obviously had a whole season to do this. They only won 20 games. So I'm interested, now that we know that the Bulls made the playoffs, they are going to be the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. They'll be taking on the Boston Celtics. Give me your first glimpse of this as far as what you expect with the Boston series, and what can we expect from the Bulls?
That's a really good question, Jordan, because as you know, if you've watched this team all season long, as I know you have, and you're a Bulls fan sitting at home thinking, all right, well, the Bulls and the Celtics split their regular season series 2-2. There were some close games in there, the one where Jimmy Butler maybe got a little bit lucky with a last-second foul call to keep that TNT Bull streak going with that home win. The most recent one, the Bulls went to Boston and just got absolutely punched in the mouth. So we've kind of seen everything on the spectrum, from close games, back and forth games, to blowouts between the Bulls and Celtics this season. I think it's easy to say that Boston is the better of the two teams. There's a reason that they are the one seed. Cleveland kind of struggled down the stretch and actually had a losing record after the All-Star break, so Cleveland was able to leapfrog them. But, I mean, this is a team that, if it weren't for Harden and Westbrook and all the things they're doing, and then LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard on a tier below that, Isaiah Thomas had an MVP-caliber season. I mean, you look at his numbers, look at the numbers Derrick Rose had when Derrick Rose won MVP for the Bulls in 2010-11. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is a bona fide superstar, and he's got a cast of great characters around him. Brad Stevens, arguably one of the best coaches in the league. I think he's a Coach of the Year candidate. Might not win. I think that'll probably go to D'Antoni, but this is a very good Celtics team, and I don't see the Bulls carrying this series past six games. I'm thinking five.
Yeah, I think the Bulls will probably grab one game here at least. What interests me about this matchup more than just getting absolutely beat down in four games by LeBron and crew, Boston last year lost in six games to Atlanta, and that kind of concerns me a little bit with them being the one seed now and how the Bulls might be able to surprise some people. Yeah, they're not going to surprise them a lot. I don't expect an upset series at all, but I think it's interesting nonetheless, because this is the first time this Boston Celtics team that they basically built from the ground up is going to have to come out into the playoffs and prove that they can be a team that can contend with the Toronto Raptors and the Cleveland Cavaliers and actually have a legitimate shot at the finals, where a lot of other people are counting them out. They're saying Golden State, Cleveland, or San Antonio, and that's about it. So I'm interested. Heightened expectations for this series. I think all the pressure lies on Boston, where the Bulls come in and say, you know what, we got in the 82nd game. Here we are. Let's maybe win a game.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's definitely better for the Bulls that they wound up in this happenstance matchup with Boston as opposed to Cleveland. Yes, Boston is a very good young team, but the other important word in that phrase is young, and they're fairly inexperienced in the postseason. I mean, they have the superstar in Thomas. They added Al Horford in the offseason, and look, he's looking like he's going to be in full form after, you know, dealing with some nagging injuries this season. They're a good team, but if the Bulls had any chance at upsetting either of those two, you have to take Boston. And I don't want Bulls fans saying, well, hey, we swept Cleveland in the regular season. Well, yeah, LeBron James missed one of those games. Kyrie and Kevin Love missed a couple of those games. And the regular season is not the same thing. Best of seven series is a completely different monster. And there is a reason that whichever team has represented the East in the finals for the last 6 years has been a LeBron James-led team. That is not a coincidence. As much as I hate LeBron and the douchebaggery that surrounds his character on and off the floor, he is the best player in the world right now, and he leads his team to the finals in the East. That's how it works. There is no way that the Bulls would beat Cleveland in a best-of-seven series, regardless of what happened in the regular season. Boston, maybe the Bulls get lucky, a couple of things bounce their way, and, you know, maybe they push this to a seventh game and then, hey, anything can happen. Although one other thing I will mention in this regular season series between Boston and Cleveland, or at Boston and Chicago, the home team won all four of those games. So Bulls are going to have to win one on the road in Boston. That's going to be tough to do.
How much do you hate the decision?
In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach.
Are you kidding me?
And join the Miami Heat.
I still tear LeBron James a new one for that any chance I get. Look, I mean, it's one of the most talked about gaffes or faux pas, if you will, in professional sports history, as far as like the behavior and a way a player handles himself in a big time decision like that. And it's not the fact that he left Cleveland, it's the way he did it, right? That's what everybody says. Yes, it was annoying that he like did a TV special to announce that he was abandoning his team, but I disagree with that overarching narrative of it's not the fact that he abandoned Cleveland, it's the way he did it. I think it's the fact that he abandoned Cleveland. Like, how do you do that? It's your hometown team. You're going to go team up with some superstars down in Miami? That's what I hated more about it, honestly.
Yeah, I think losing his credibility there, and I mean, we could do a whole episode on the decision because I hated it too. I think as the years have gone on, I think I've respected LeBron James on the court just because he's probably the greatest athlete we're going to see, I was alive for Michael Jordan's era, but I don't really remember it. So LeBron, to me, I think is going to be the guy that I can go back and tell my kids and say, you know, LeBron was unbelievable. I'll give him that. But like you said, the decision, idiotic move. Go on ESPN and make this all about him. And so that was kind of lame. But I do like that he gives kids education. He donates all the money for scholarships and things at Akron. So I'll give him that.
Don't get me wrong. The guy does a lot of wonderful things and, you know, charitable organizations.
But I guess that's easy to do when you have billions of dollars, when you're a multimillionaire, almost
sure.
billionaire.
I mean, like, you know, find me a multimillionaire athlete who doesn't do some kind of charity work and give money to those in need. Like, basically all of them do in some capacity or another. So it's not like he like deserves extra credit for that. And at the same time, he's flopping around the basketball court. He's whining to refs. He's whining to the media about this, that, and the other thing. And he also still always tries to put himself on this pedestal of like, I'm LeBron. I'm the best player in the world. I deserve this respect. I deserve that respect. And he's still, it's the flopping and the whining. It's like, dude, like, take yourself seriously. Or don't demand as much respect as you do, because that to me that drives me crazy. Dude's flopping around and like claiming that, oh my god, my somebody shot my arm off on the court, when really the NBA is so soft right now, soft.
Dude's crying about not having playmakers surrounding around him. Dude, you have three championship rings. You're contending for a finals every single year. So stop complaining. So I'm there with you. All right, let's get back to Boston. This is our main focus. This is the ideal matchup in a lot of other reasons besides being on the court. One is I actually like it for the sake of possibly a Jimmy Butler showcase here. This is going to be an opportunity for Celtics fans who don't watch a whole lot of national NBA basketball, maybe fans that only watch the Celtics specifically, because there's a lot of Bulls fans who just watch the Bulls, just follow the Bulls, which is all right. It's more so a showcase for Jimmy Butler's skills. Maybe fans are going to be like, man, maybe he'll light it up for 40-plus, have an outstanding game, especially on the road, playing on the road, and having this dominant performance in the playoffs and dominant, say that lightly, just for Jimmy Butler dominant, not Bulls dominant. So I think it's going to be kind of interesting. It's going to be a showcase, and obviously you got the Rondo storyline. So what's your favorite? I guess I need to know, what's your favorite storyline coming into this, and what should people be excited, if they are at all, about this series?
Well, you bring up a good point with the whole Jimmy Butler thing, because it'll be really interesting to see what happens if Boston knocks us off, gets to, say, the conference finals, loses to Cleveland, and then they're faced with an offseason, and Danny Ainge is faced with an offseason of like, okay, we're close. We are close. Like, maybe they push Cleveland to 6 or 7 games and they're right there, but they just fall short. What do we need to get past LeBron and Cleveland? And then does Danny Ainge say, okay, you know what? This first overall pick, and you know, assuming that the lottery balls fall in Boston's favor and they get that number one overall pick from Brooklyn, is he willing to let go of that in a trade with the Bulls to get Jimmy Butler to be that? Really, in Boston, he could be the second star to Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas is that good. If you have Isaiah Thomas, Jimmy Butler, and Al Horford, and then, you know, you're probably going to send the Bulls a piece here or there. You know, I think they're pretty set on keeping Crowder, but the Bulls are going to try as hard as they can to get him. Maybe Smart, maybe Jaylen Brown, the rookie this season. But doesn't Danny Ainge have to think about that if the Celtics fall short? And then if the Bulls basically lay an egg in this meaningless first-round playoff season against Boston, don't Gar and Pax have to really honestly think about that? If Boston's willing to give us a package of that number one pick and a couple of their younger guys, maybe an additional pick in addition to that number one pick for Jimmy Butler, press the self-destruct button and really do this rebuild for real. That's going to be interesting. And if Jimmy Butler is dominant against the Celtics and turns it into a series and carries the Bulls in basically every one of these games, however many games this series goes, then maybe Danny Ainge is like, you know what? That's the guy I want. That's the guy that we need to get us over that LeBron James hump.
It really pisses me off, people who don't watch the Bulls and talk about Jimmy Butler as being this rental guy. And I see a lot of Celtics fans talk about Jimmy Butler in a way where he's just like some kind of middle of the road player, and they don't really understand. And I'm not somebody who's going to sit here and say Jimmy Butler's a top five player in the NBA. I don't even think he's a top 10 player in the NBA. And I'm going to be quite honest, I think maybe top 20. Okay, I can find 15 other guys that are better than Jimmy Butler. But that still stands for something. That's still being a top 20 player in the NBA. Yeah. And for Celtics fans, why think of him as a rental? And if I'm going to bring this to you, who would you rather have, Paul George or Jimmy Butler? And I'm going to take Jimmy Butler over Paul George, because for what I've seen from Paul George, I think it's he comes out, has a couple nice weeks, then he lays off, and it's all of a sudden, oh, what's wrong with Paul George? Where Jimmy, I mean, I guess you could say the same about Jimmy at some stretches, but I think if you're Boston, he fits better than maybe somebody like Paul George. So showcase for Butler, I think, is going to be massive. And I'm really interested to see what kind of impact Dwayne Wade has with a team that is now an 8 seed going into the playoffs. What's he going to do? Could you imagine if, say, he comes out and plays electric? It's a mere screenshot of what he was when he was in his prime, and all of a sudden this magic comes out of nowhere and Dwayne Wade is playing like Dwayne Wade.
Well, that's really interesting. I'm curious to see what D-Wade does and how many minutes Hoiberg puts him out there, because you know he had what, 2 games after a fractured elbow to come back to finish the regular season, and he played around what, 22 to 25 minutes. I honestly think that's kind of the minutes that Wade should have been playing all season. I watched Dwayne Wade a lot this season when he was out there, and he just looks old and washed up. Even against this pathetic excuse for a Brooklyn Nets team with half of their regular players out tonight, he was still dogging it on defense. Like, he got burned on the defensive side like half a dozen times while I was watching. He is not a two-way player anymore, plain and simple. He's not. He's got a few moves left when he's going ISO on the offensive end, and that's about it. He has a mid-range game. He's got a floater. He can still cross a guy over from time to time and get to the rack, but he doesn't have his burst of speed anymore, and he's just a complete zero factor. In fact, he's a problem on the defensive side. So as far as what you expect to see from him in this playoff series, it depends on how much does Fred Hoiberg think he can get out of him? How much trust is Hoiberg willing to put in this old, broken-down Dwayne Wade? And will that backfire on him? At the same time, think back to just last year when that Miami team that wasn't really a whole lot, it was old Dwayne Wade and not much else, D-Wade played like a superstar in those playoff series from last year. Everybody was like, wow, where the hell did this come from? So maybe we see something similar to that where D-Wade says, okay, it's playoff time. I kind of lollygagged my way through this 82-game season because I'm old and falling apart, but let's go. Strap him up, and maybe Wade is the sidekick that Jimmy Butler needs to make this a series.
That's why I'm kind of scared, in a sense, because all of a sudden, Maybe he flips that switch like he did last year, and all of a sudden now you've got Jimmy Butler playing at his highest level. You got Dwayne Wade playing at his highest level. And then we haven't even talked about Rondo yet. Rondo coming back to Boston, this being sort of the storyline that I think a lot of national media is going to carry with them, and it's going to be a thing. And Rondo played nice in March, and like a player that I was kind of confused. Throughout the entire season, we didn't see this type of play from Rondo, and all of a sudden he blew up. He started actually shooting the ball. So it's interesting. We've got a lot of pieces that I feel like for the regular season were known, but when you get to the playoffs, the atmosphere is different. They've got a lot of guys that have been there before. So I think it's going to be weird to see a mesh of all of these young guys that they have on that are going to play significant minutes for the Bulls, and then you mesh it with three veterans who've been there before. So there's a lot to look at with this Celtics series. What could be worst case scenario for the Bulls? I'm thinking it's the Bulls get completely wiped. Jimmy Butler plays awful, and there's some kind of self-destruction that could completely cap this season off as an ESPN 30 for 30 in the next 10 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you talk about sort of like the third of the three alphas, Rondo, to round out that conversation, and the worst case scenario is that the three alphas played together like they played together to start the season, which was disjointed and awful in a slow-paced offense that had no ball movement and no floor spacers. Because that's what we watched for 40-some-odd games until Hoiberg figured out, oh, gee, I should probably mess with this rotation because this isn't working. And then, you know, he benched Rondo for like 2 months, and then Rondo comes back, and then Rondo all of a sudden out of nowhere shoots like 50% from downtown in the last month and a half of the season. But worst case scenario is that the Bulls revisit some of those old problems on the offensive end where the ball gets stuck in either Butler, Wade, or Rondo's hands. And the Celtics defense, which is a good defense, keys in on Butler and forces and begs Wade and Rondo to shoot from outside. They both go cold. Everybody gets angry at one another and the whole thing explodes and Rondo embarrasses himself at the TD Garden, you know, his old stomping grounds. And that would be really sad because honestly, I really respect how professional Rondo has been this season. I didn't agree with them signing him in the first place. I thought the Rondo signing was a mistake, but with everything that was thrown at him this season, with being asked to be essentially the third wheel to Butler and an aging Wade, and trying to play Fred Hoiberg's offense, but really Fred Hoiberg has not proven himself to be a good communicator as a coach. Then he gets benched, and these young kids are playing ahead of him. All of the media scrutiny. Rondo has handled it as professionally as possible. All of this national stereotypical identity that's been thrown at Rondo for a couple of instances here or there where he, you know, jars with his coach or his teammates. I think that's so overblown, and I really appreciate how Rondo's handled everything this season. That being said, they could still totally blow up if this playoff series goes really bad.
I'm 100% guilty of that. I was somebody who was like, you got to be kidding me, bringing in this circus player that's going to come in here and you know he's going to start some shit. And of course, didn't take long, took about 2 months, and we had a Rondo story, we had a Rondo headline, and then it was, what drew me to Rondo so much was the way he stuck up for the young guys, and I think that carries a lot when it was Butler and Wade and then everybody else on the Bulls, and Butler and Wade are taking shots at one basket and the entire other team is taking shots at another during warmups, and Butler and Wade both go into the locker room and they go into the showers after that embarrassing loss, and then they come out as a team, talk to the media, pretty much call out every player that's not named Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade on the team, and it kind of forced people to pick sides, and I was actually shocked that Rondo went and backed up his young guys. And now when I listened to him in press conferences, I think he's very intelligent. He knows basketball inside and out, and he's a great guy as far as basketball X's and O's go, and I think sticking up for the young guys is interesting. That's why I even said if Rondo doesn't come back with Chicago this year, I could see him going to a young team like maybe the 76ers, where he's teaching these guys how to play, and maybe he takes a flyer on a young team where he can do what he said he wanted to do after he retires, which is coach. And maybe that's kind of an inside look at what maybe Rondo's trying to do with the back half of his career. So it is. It's gonna be different. And do you think Bulls fans, and I'm asking everyone out there, should Bulls fans be excited? Should we care? Do you care? And do I care? Do you care about these playoffs? Obviously, you're going to be watching it, but do you really care?
Well, look, I'm excited because watching playoff basketball, NBA, I love NBA playoffs. I love them. As just a fan of the league and a fan of the game, I will watch NBA playoffs, whether it's the Bulls or a game between two teams, and neither of them are the Bulls. That's how much I love the NBA playoffs. Yes, I'm excited that the Bulls managed to squeak in because it gives us at least another week or 10 days to talk about this Bulls team and the games that they're playing and their playoff games. On the big picture scale, it doesn't matter what they do in this playoff series. It wouldn't have mattered if they missed the playoffs altogether. Say they lost tonight and they miss for the second straight season. If Bulls fans are talking about wanting big directional change and change at the top, you're talking fire Gar Forman and or John Paxson, firing Fred Hoiberg.
Never happening.
That was not going to happen. Regardless of whatever happened this season, that wasn't going to happen because Jerry Reinsdorf's at the top and he's not making any changes. So, yes, if the Bulls are stuck in this no man's land of not good enough to really contend for a title but not bad enough to be in the top five of the lottery, and if the difference is, hey, they squeak into the playoffs as an 8 seed and we get to watch them play a playoff series and who knows what happens, and they pick 16th or 17th in the draft as opposed to they miss the playoffs and they pick 14th or 15th, yeah, give me a playoff series. Like, why the hell not?
But, Matt, isn't it true that, you know, Gar Forman and John Paxson, their number one goal was to make the playoffs? And Chicago fans, you know, there's guys out there, you know, it's the playoffs, you know, it's only a 7-game series. All you got to do is win 4 and you're on to the next one. And, you know, this could be a team that could possibly make the finals. I mean, it's the playoffs. Anything can happen.
Are you quoting my sarcastic comment? Is that what you're doing right now?
Yeah.
Listen, like, yes, you're right. Gar Forman is totally going to try to take credit for this. I wanted to retool this roster while still contending and, quote unquote, what's that phrase that Gar loves to use? Compete at a high level. God, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me. Because you know what? Honestly, what the fudge does that mean, compete at a high level? Does it mean sneaking into the 8th seed as a 500 basketball team? Because I don't think that's competing at a high level. But he said, we want to retool, get some of the veterans to teach some of the young guys, build up the young guys as we sort of try to get younger and still make the playoffs and still compete. Basically, squeaking in as an 8th seed with a hodgepodge of old guys who are too old and slow and young guys who just aren't really that good yet, that's exactly what Gar had in mind, I guess. So he's totally going to take credit for this, and that's really frustrating because, honestly, I don't think he deserves any credit because this is exactly where the Bulls don't want to be.
Yeah, and that's going to all be said in his one press conference that he holds annually in the summer when you know, the NBA finals are going on, or maybe it's a Sunday morning where nobody's awake and he'll do a press conference and nobody will listen to it. So,
yeah, like last season when they did it immediately after their final game of the season, when like nobody was paying attention because they had already lost out on the playoffs. I mean, that's just shady.
I think it's interesting to look at this team, and regardless of the playoffs and how this sits, I think any games that the Bulls end up winning this season in the playoffs, it's just going to further push Paxson and Gar Forman's agenda to say, you know what, here you are. We gave you a playoff team. You know, we missed the playoffs the last 2 seasons, so we gave you a playoff team. Now, this is what the fans have asking for. This is what we're all asking for, which is a complete bullshit lie because nobody's asking for this. If you listen to Chicago radio, if you listen to the people, you talk to the people of the Chicago, Gar Forman, you could walk down the street. I swear to God, you could walk down Michigan Avenue and go up to every Bulls fan and ask them, hey, are you all right with the way the Bulls are right now? And I guarantee you 99.9% of them will say absolutely not and then tear you a new one. This is barring that you're not actually Gar Foreman. And then there'll be people that aren't even paying attention because, you know what, Jordan's not on the team anymore and it's not nothing even worth paying attention to anymore. I think it scares me the most because the more games they win, which I would be happy for Jimmy Butler and happy for some of these other guys that actually have a little bit of potential on this team to still be around and stick around whether or not they actually pick a direction. I feel bad because it's like one side, I want them to just get blown out in four games, give it a higher percentage that maybe Gar Foreman will be gone, maybe Fred Hoiberg will be gone. But then on the other side, it's like, all right, another season where Jimmy Butler's team got embarrassed. He's probably going to continue to push to probably be out of the city as soon as possible. So I don't know. I'm kind of in the balance right now. I want to watch this team succeed, but at the other hand, it's like it's just going to further the agenda for the front office.
Yeah, that's all that it is. And look, I mean, if you're talking about the end goal, and you know whether or not they blow this up or in fact try to keep retooling and build around Jimmy Butler, and I'll pose this to you, Jordan. What do you see here? Do you want them to try to, you know, swap Butler to Boston for the number one overall pick and a couple of other pieces, or do you want them to keep Butler and try to build around him? Because we've seen in certain stretches, especially towards the back half of the season when either Rondo or Wade was out, that Butler, with a bunch of floor spacers and shooters around him, is actually a pretty decent offensive team, and the Bulls were putting up, you know, 110 plus on almost a nightly basis in March and April. It can work, and they still have Butler, as we've said, you know, maybe not a top 10 player, but certainly a top 20 player, three-time All-Star now, probably going to make an All-NBA team this season, in his prime on a very cheap team-friendly contract. Do you try to put a couple of other cheaper shooter kind of pieces around him in the offseason, wave bye-bye to Rondo, let Wade opt out and, you know, go wherever the hell else he wants to go? I hope to God that Wade is gone next season. But build around Jimmy, because we've seen that he's good enough to carry this crap team on most nights. And, you know, or are you thinking, you know what, let's just do it. Let's just, you know, trade Jimmy, full rebuild.
I think, so I said, this was my optimism kicking in, and obviously this is a pipeline dream, but I sent this to somebody else talking about the Bulls, and I was going off about why Fred was still continuing with like five games left to play 11 or 12 guys in 10 or more minutes, and just him not figuring out the rotation pissed me off. So I came up with the most optimistic dream pipeline shot that the Bulls got here. So they get bounced out of the playoffs in four games. They fire Gar Pax. That's the biggest one here. Fire Gar Pax. Flush Isaiah Cannon, Anthony Morrow, Michael Carter-Williams, and every other player on that team that has absolutely no business being in the NBA. Trade Butler to the Celtics. Pray the Kings end up with the 11th through 14th pick, because we all know the Kings will king, and maybe this will continue their their awful stretch of being in existence of a franchise. Okay, so all right, hopefully the Kings end up with 11th through 14. Draft Fultz, Jackson, or Ball with the pick that you get from Boston, whether that be the first pick or the third pick or maybe even the fourth pick. I still think they're going to get 1 through 3. So, all right, now you got Fultz, Jackson, and Ball with the pick. And then you get the Kings pick between 11 and 14 and draft Markkanen or Bridges, which I love those two guys. I think those two are going to be phenomenal NBA players, but that's a different story. So now you got,
as long as we're dreaming, I'd like a pony and $1 million. Like, come on now.
So stick with me. Draft Abadeo, Ananobi, Giles, Swanigan with the Bulls pick, wherever that's going to be in the late first round. Then you got championships. But let's be honest, none of that's going to happen. I just want the Bulls to pick a damn direction. I don't care. At this point, I don't really care what you do. It seems like they want Butler and they want to keep him around. Okay, fine. Then go out and actually recruit free agents. Get guys that are top players in this league to come and play for the Bulls. If you can't do that, then I'm sorry, you're going to have to build through the draft.
See, that's the problem, Jordan. You just highlighted the biggest problem, because say that Rajon Rondo leaves, or you know, they don't pick up the second year, and Dwayne Wade opts out and leaves. That frees up some money. And, you know, you cut loose some of these other, you know, random strings and restricted free agents don't match their contracts, whatever. The Bulls theoretically have plenty of money to offer people. But the free agent class of 2017 is not that big if you're talking about real, like, big name stars. And who are you going to convince to come to Chicago? I mean, Jimmy Butler convinced D. Wade, but that wasn't really what this decision was about. Wade got pissed at Pat Riley and wanted to make a point. So he was like, well, I guess I can go home and play for Chicago. They'll love me there. It's not like he wanted to come here to play with Jimmy because he thought they were literally going to contend for a championship. That is baloney. That is grade A horseshit. It was about D. Wade making a point because he was bitter with the way things were going in Miami. I mean,
rightfully so, too.
Did they convince Carmelo to come? No. Did they convince LeBron, Wade, or Bosch to come in 2010? No. The Bulls have failed to lure big-time, big-name free agents under this Garpash leadership. I don't see that changing. Yes, Jimmy Butler has improved, but he's still not a big of enough of a guy. And the pieces around him currently, and the head coach who's running this, who seems clueless. What about that screams like, oh, yeah, let me leave where I am to go to Chicago, where it's cold as fuck, you know, 360 days of the year, at least during the basketball season, and play there. Like, and then the other part of that argument that you just said, as far as building through the draft, the Bulls haven't done that. The last draft pick that they hit that totally panned out was Jimmy Butler.
That was lucky. That's lucky. And you know, I gotta stop you there though, because we are gonna get Bosch just about 7 years later than we wanted him, and we got Dwayne Wade 7 years later than we wanted him. I think the most convincing person that you could probably get on this team, and I don't know how, if people don't already like this guy and don't think he's that great. I think Blake Griffin's going to be somebody that you could probably convince to come to Chicago, barring that he's tired of the same old bullshit with the Clippers that he's been dealing with. And
Clippers maybe are falling apart, too.
And maybe he wants a change of scenery, and maybe that's just something that he needs. And maybe he feels like he can kind of rekindle what he was doing when he was being successful with Jimmy Butler, and maybe learn from Dwayne Wade. I don't know. But besides that, I guess you're right. There's nobody really to surround this team with. I just want them to pick a damn direction. And like, if that's the way you're going to go, then you got to be smart enough to be able to finagle trades. And I'm not talking Tony Snell for Michael Carter Williams. I'm talking big time trades where you're making moves and you know what? You're saying, fuck it to our draft picks. And you're going to go and trade your future draft picks. And you're going to go out and get legitimate superstars, guys you could build with this team. But I don't see that getting you any farther than completely blowing this thing up and saying, you know what, we're going to build from the ground up. Yeah, we love Jimmy and the city loves Jimmy Butler, but he deserves to play at a championship level team at this point in his career. He's at the peak season of his career, and how many more seasons are you going to actually get out of him before you build this on-the-fly team that supposedly could contend for championships? He's going to be old, and he's not going to be as productive as he is now. So it's no direction.
Well, yeah, okay, there's no direction right now. I agree, and I agree that, like, I don't care what the direction is, trade Jimmy or keep him, but pick a direction and stick with it. If it was keep Jimmy and get younger and more athletic, fine, but don't get younger and more athletic by signing Wade and Rondo, you fucking idiots. So yes, if you know, pick one of those directions, fine. You're talking about Jimmy only having so many years of his prime left. Like, the dude's only 27. Like, yeah, he had a couple of seasons there where he was Tibbs' workhorse after Luol Deng left, so maybe call him 28 instead of 27 if you really want to, but that's still 5 years solid of prime Jimmy Butler, the next two of which, are coming dirt cheap compared to other NBA-level talent that is on Jimmy Butler's, you know, playing field. So yes, pick a direction, pick one quickly, but if they pick that direction of younger and more athletic, but keeping Jimmy, all they have to do is let Wade and Rondo go and then find some mid-tier free agents who can shoot from behind the three-point line, and boom, you got yourself a team that's good enough for the fourth seed in the pathetic Eastern Conference.
I think you hit it right on the head, but one thing is, I don't see a chance in hell that Dwayne Wade's going to opt out of the big money that he's going to make next year. And I mean,
$23 million. Jesus Christ.
And maybe that could play to the Bulls' favor when they come. Maybe he resigns next year and this whole thing turns out to be exactly what it was this year, and the Bulls can move him at the deadline. That could be an option too. And I don't know how much you're going to get for a Dwayne Wade that's making that money, and the Bulls are going to have to take the rest of that money. I don't know how much you're going to get for that on a contending team and for a year. I mean, I'm not sure. So, but I don't see him leaving. Rondo will probably leave unless I can't see anybody convincing him to stay. What would the point of him staying here? He hasn't had a good time here. He's been a storyline for three or four times this season negatively, and seems like he just gets a bad rap here in Chicago, and people don't really care. And Fred doesn't really like
him.
And
when he first got benched, he said, like, yeah, I mean, not sugarcoating anything, my role on this team is not the role that was described to me when the Bulls pitched me last summer.
And I'm not surprised.
You can't fault Rondo for that. It's like, yeah, you're going to run our offense. You're going to run Fred Hoiberg's offense. Okay, cool. I'm Rondo. I'm a point guard. I'm going to run the offense. Oh, wait, here's Butler and Wade. They both need the ball constantly, and they both have huge egos. So the offense isn't working with all three of you, so we're going to bench you. I mean, come on. Yeah, why would Rondo want to stay?
It goes back to Jerry Reinsdorf, too, and I waited 8 years for them to pick a damn direction with the Sox, and it seems like that timeline is continuing here with the Bulls. And I've said this multiple times that it's no secret Jerry Reinsdorf would give up all six of his rings with the Bulls for his one World Series if he had to do it, if he had to pick which one. So if you at least don't care about the team to the point with what you're putting on the court day in and day out, then give it to somebody that does, because this is a massive fan base, and this team truly cares about this Bulls team. But when you start putting product on the floor that's, you know, and then you start lying and contradicting yourself, and you hide from the media all the time, and, you know, you pitch players on wrong ideas, then it's like, what are we doing here? We're the laughingstock of the NBA, and you're the Chicago fucking Bulls. You shouldn't be the laughingstock of the NBA, and not for this long either. And it's not even like they have a clear direction like some of these other teams. The Lakers, at least they have young talent and a young-minded coach, too, that has bought into all of this. And the Bulls got nothing. The Bulls literally have nothing. You have a coach coaching a bunch of players that don't fit his system.
And like, the Lakers made moves that made sense at the trade deadline, you know, selling off Lou Williams to a Rockets team that was eager to add another, you know, offensive piece to that puzzle as they're trying to contend with San Antonio and Golden State in the Western Conference. And the Lakers get, they got a second round draft pick in return, I want to say, or maybe they got a first round pick for Lou. But either way, like, so the Lakers are making steps, logical steps in a logical direction, whereas, like, what did the Bulls do at the deadline in this quasi purgatory of, well, we want to contend, but we want to get these young guys minutes? They traded Taj and Doug to the Thunder for a pile of garbage, and then, oh, by the way, Thunder, here's a draft pick. Wait, what is that? Can we just talk about that for a second? Because it was Cameron Payne, right? That was the big reason that they were so excited to make that trade. And Taj was going to walk in free agency anyway. And Doug, for whatever reason, didn't pan out, or they didn't want him, or whatever. Cameron Payne is the guy that they were so excited to get, and he's been in the D League or inactive. What the hell is that? That shows a lack of direction.
Well, you know, you know why they love Cameron Payne, right? It's Mr. Tim Floyd being a huge influence on him.
It's the Iowa State connection, dude.
Unbelievable. And I dug down the rabbit hole of looking and seeing why they cared about Cameron Payne so much. The guy who was the head recruiter for Cameron Payne has coached under Tim Floyd since he's been in college.
Has been an assistant coach to Tim Floyd, exactly. And the Bulls,
it's pathetic.
And the Bulls were high on Campaign when he came out in that draft and really wanted him because of that reason.
I think I need somebody to poke me in the eardrums extremely hard every time one of them says we're really high on someone, because that's all they spit out.
Who we're high on?
Any interview that they have done over the last 6 months, a year, it's just been, well, you know, we have blah, blah. We've got Bobby Portis. We've got Paul Zipser. We're really high on.
You know,
we've got Cameron Payne now. We're really high on.
Just cut out the subtext, Gar. Just bring your bong to the press conference with you and say, like,
Yeah, man, we're really high on this Cameron Payne kid. We're really high on this Cameron Payne kid. Yeah, he's gonna be great. Anybody have some cookies?
Get out of here, Gar.
I don't understand it either. I listen to a lot of Chicago radio, and these idiot fans that I don't know if it's a select group of them, but nobody I have ever met says that the Bulls can have a legitimate shot with the talent on this team. It makes me question, do you actually watch what they're putting out on the floor day in and day out, that you think that this could be a contending team just because you've got a top 15, top 20 player in Jimmy Butler? I'm sorry, one player doesn't win a championship. One player doesn't even get you to contend unless you're LeBron James.
Well, the thing that you have to constantly remind yourself as someone who watches this team on a nightly basis and who also watches a lot of NBA basketball outside of Chicago is that, you know, Joe Average fan sitting at home on his couch watching the Bulls because he loves the Bulls because he always has and he always will is tuning in and he's thinking, hey, this Jimmy Butler kid is a bona fide star. Hey, Dwayne Wade, we always wanted him. Dwayne Wade's a championship guy. He came to Chicago. Awesome. Rondo, he won a championship with Boston. This is a pretty good big three we got here. Some of these guys, Doug, Nico, as the season was starting, hey, we got some shooters. Lopez is a decent center. Like, this is a good team. Like, this is going to be a top four team in the East. Those kind of fans, you know, they're all throughout Chicagoland because they just don't understand the nuances and the X's and O's of the game of basketball. And they couldn't tell that the pieces that Fred Hoiberg was given to run Fred Hoiberg style of offense were complete, you know, square pegs for round holes. Not going to work. But not every fan gets that if they're just sitting on their couch watching the Bulls game because they're a Bulls fan and they learn to love the Bulls by watching Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen be amazing and wreck the league for 82 games out of the year. Like, it's a totally different brand of Bulls basketball, but it's a brand that the Joe Average fan doesn't really understand why it's not working as much as they think it should on the surface.
So with the last few minutes here, let's just say hypothetically, and I think this is going to probably be the outcome, the Bulls win one game. They get eliminated in five games. What's this postseason press conference going to look like to the front office? What are they going to pitch the Bulls as far as 2017-2018 comes? What are they going to pitch us as far as the draft comes? What kind of moves? What's going to be their overall theme? Because last year it was younger, more athletic. They did the exact opposite. So what are you expecting now? Is say the Bulls win one out of these five games that they play.
What I expect is A, Gar Pax will take credit for accomplishing exactly what they wanted to accomplish, which was getting back to the playoffs while still, you know, investing some time and effort into developing some of the younger talent. And you can scoff at what younger talent, because that's a totally valid scoff, but that's what they'll say. B, they're going to be all smoke and mirrors, because when it comes time for that postseason, end of season press conference, Gar Pax will still have no idea what they're doing. And they won't have any idea what they're doing with regard to keeping or trading Jimmy, who's staying, who's going, because until those ping pong balls fall and they figure out who has what picks, and if they get a call or multiple calls leading up to the draft from, say, Boston about Jimmy Butler, they're going to make all of those decisions on the fly. And I guarantee you that when they sit down at that press conference table after the Bulls are eliminated in five or six games against Boston, they don't know the answers to any of the questions they're going to be asked other than, how do you feel the season went? Well, we got back to the playoffs. Mission accomplished.
I think it's going to be... I'm hoping that whoever is there, whoever's sitting in that press conference, asks them the legitimate questions like, do you think your job is at stake now moving forward in this next season? People have asked that. They've kind of tiptoed around saying that without being
like, nah, yeah, our jobs are safe.
And that's another thing is I don't understand. And I guess from the player, looking at the player aspect of this, looking at the guys that will return on this team next year, for me, I have to see more of Cameron Payne. I've seen a little bit of him, and yeah, he's been not impressing. He hasn't lit the NBA on fire. He's nothing that I think is short of a future player with this team, but I need to see more of him. I need them to go in the summer, take Bobby Portis, lock him in a gym, and tell him, what you did this season, forget everything. Go back to what you did in your rookie year, forget everything. And then I'll be all right. Okay, go ahead. Paul Zipser, if this is going to be the next Dirk Nowitzki that, you know, Gar Forman pitched us, that Paul Zipser is the next Dirk Nowitzki. He didn't actually say that, but that's what he implied.
Yeah,
and he did. if that's the case, then fine. Then make him part of your team. But don't hold on to these guys that are making $23 million, like Dwayne Wade and Rondo. And don't go out and sign more veterans. Then trim the fat. Get your young guys on the floor and get them focused and ready to go with Butler. I'm interested, what's going to be the outlook for this draft then? If younger and more athletic is what they're going to still sell us on, then the draft has to be something that they're going to focus on. Who are they going to take here, and what would be a good I guess, solution to their misses on these picks?
Yeah, that's really a tough question, because if you're talking about the Bulls picking in like the mid to late teens again, you know, they took Valentine, what, 14th last summer? And I feel like he may have been a bit of a reach there. Like, he's a guy who's decent at everything, but not great at anything. And he's already 22 years old, which doesn't sound like a lot. But when the average NBA player is coming in, is only 19, it's like, oh, Denzel's 22 and he's got bad knees already. Like, great. I mean, you're talking like, where do the Bulls need help? Like, well, their backcourt, assuming that Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade both are gone, their backcourt, what? They got Jaren Grant, who has looked decent in the second half of the season. I think they should continue to invest in him. Who knows if Cameron Payne pans out, but you could certainly use another piece for that backcourt. You could use another 3-and-D wing, because those are always a hot commodity. Maybe invest in like power forward slash center. But, I mean, you got Lopez if you want him for another year or two. Felicio has looked pretty strong as a backup. He's going to be a restricted free agent. I honestly think the Bulls should do what they can to keep Felicio. I like what I've seen from him. So, like, I would say, first and foremost, try and get a 3-and-D guy or a stretch four who can shoot the long ball. And, you know, if all the guards, all the strong guards are gone by the time the Bulls are picking, you take what you can get from the forward position.
Do you think Felicio is going to get a lot of money this summer? Because I think he's going to get to the point where you look at the money and say, really, that's what we're going to pay for him. I know the cap has gone up and these numbers are inflated, and we all went apeshit last year when we saw some of these players that were getting huge money. But that's just the way the NBA is now. But matching that contract for him, like you said, if they bring back Robin Lopez, then I don't know. I don't know if that's like exactly where the Bulls should be spending their money, but there's a lot of questions with what the Bulls are doing. I think you're going to get another guy that's 22, that's played 4 years at their university, that's been great in college, and then he's going to come here, and it's going to be like, all right, well, this is what you have. I guess this is what you've got. I mean, you're not and another question too is, if he comes in and they bring in another guy that's 22, 23 years old, is he going to get legit minutes this year? Like, his rookie year, is he going to be a legitimate, like, go out there and show us what you can do every night? Or are they going to screw around with him like they did with Denzel Valentine and not give him legitimate minutes and not let fans see what they actually have in him?
Yeah, see, well, okay, so for starters, with Felicio, it depends. I mean, if he gets offered something ridiculous, like, oh, so-and-so just offered Matthew Dellavedova $18 trillion, then, like, yeah. Like, if Felicio gets an offer like that, no, you know, sad to see you go, but thanks, but no thanks. When it comes to the draft, you know, if it's... I feel like Bulls fans were really frustrated with the fact that Valentine was just nowhere to be seen. I think that preseason ankle injury was really unfortunate, and I feel like that was a big reason why he just kind of wasn't in the rotation from the get-go, because he lost all that momentum that he built in the summer league when he looked like, hey, maybe this kid can play. Like, yeah, it's summer league, but he was the hero of the summer league. The summer league champion Chicago Bulls. Hashtag never forget. But, you know, from, like, I want to see the Bulls take a rookie who is young and athletic
to get younger, at positions, and, like, to
they,
get
they got
more
some
athletic
options. Like, Justin Jackson, the forward from North Carolina, he might fall. He might fall to 15 or 16.
Guess how old he is.
Well, yeah, okay. But, like, they're, you know, I'm Jared Allen, the center from Texas, Justin Patton,
I like
the center
him
from
a lot.
Creighton. I like both of them. Who I really also like is that kid, Zach Collins, the center for Zaga, who looked really strong in the tournament. I really loved watching his game, and he's actually more of like a center slash power forward who can spread the floor a little bit. So like they're going to have some options. It depends on, who goes. Like, obviously, it's, Fultz and Lonzo. And then, maybe Josh Jackson has thrown himself into that mix. Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, those guys are all going to be top five. And then you get to that, like, second tier that, the NC State guard, what's his name? Dennis Smith Jr., that French guard.
The French guard, the guy that played at Arizona, Lauri Markkanen, are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's another dude, too, that I keep seeing being paralleled with the Bulls is Terrence Ferguson. Never heard of him. Plays right. Overseas.
He committed to Arizona, and he committed to some other college, and he, like, ditched them both and went and played in France for a year. Or, no, he played in Australia for his one-and-done year. I've heard his name paired with the Bulls as well. Like, there's going to be options. I just... flat bottom line story. I just don't have faith in Garpacks picking the right guy because they haven't for several years now.
I think me and you are on the same page with that one. Honestly, this might be a little biased. I went to Indiana, but OG Anunoby, if he hangs around when the Bulls are there, I think that's a no-brainer. The dude's an athletic freak. He is a great defender, and he's not the greatest on offense, but I think that's something you can teach a 19-year-old to do, especially like Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I really like him, and I think in most mock drafts I've seen, he's projected like late teens, early 20s. So there's a decent chance that he's around when the Bulls are picking there, probably in the middle of the teens.
So I'm going to cross my fingers. Hopefully we find a guy that this Bulls team can maybe finally tell us that's younger, more that athletic, and actually is. But I think that's still a little ways away. We can break down all of those once this playoff stretches over in 10 days or however long it takes for the Bulls to get knocked out. But interesting. I think this matchup for the Celtics and for the Bulls, it's a good historic matchup just to talk about history with the teams. It'll create a couple good storylines. Hopefully we get one or two games. I'm hoping for not blowouts at least. Hopefully the Bulls don't get embarrassed.
If we could get anything in any of these games that's half as good as that triple OT game six between the Bulls and Celtics in 2009 with Joakim Noah's steal coast-to-coast dunk and one, oh my God. That is still, I remember, I was pretty young for the first Jordan three-peat, but I vividly remember the second Jordan three-peat. And amidst all of those playoff games, like, I was there game one, 97 finals against Utah when Jordan hit a buzzer beater at the UC for the win. I was there. I have a lot of great Bulls fan memories in my life. But that Joakim Noah steal and coast-to-coast dunk and one in game six, triple OT, that game against Boston was one of my favorite memories as a Chicago fan. Not just Bulls fan, like Chicago sports fan overall. Like, that game was magical. If we can get any one of these games half as good as that, I'll be a happy camper.
One other thing I wanted to touch on real fast. I was looking at Bulls playoff tickets for home games, and I was actually surprised that there was a shitload of tickets still available on the Bulls website. And so that kind of surprised me as far as where this fan base is taking a stance. Maybe they'll probably end up selling them out. They always do. The Bulls still have highest attendance rate. But I thought it was interesting that the Bulls physical site that was selling tickets actually still had a legitimate amount available. So I don't know. Maybe we're slowly turning that page with these fans that still hold on to go to games. And maybe it's just the rich that are going to fill up the 100 section like they do at Hawks games. So I don't know.
And you look at the UC from this past season. Like, yes, the Bulls claim sellouts all the time, and I guess that means the tickets were technically sold to somebody. But there were empty seats galore all season long, especially towards the middle and end doldrum parts of the season when this Bulls team wasn't very inspired. They weren't very interesting to watch. They weren't very good. And Bulls fans just kind of stopped showing up. So the playoffs are a different monster. And, the Bulls started selling playoff tickets before they clinched, because obviously they didn't clinch until the midnight hour. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see not completely full stadium when the Bulls host their first home game, game three against Boston.
Well, that's going to about do it here on The Debatables. Thank you so much for listening. We are on Dash Radio. Join us again next week, Thursdays 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time. We are going to be on Dash Radio every single week. Follow the Almighty Baller Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year on Dash Radio. Tell your friends about it. Make sure they're downloading the app. Make sure they're listening to us. We will have all the playoff coverage you will need for this Bulls 10-day run of the playoffs. And after that, we'll kind of break down what's going to be kind of an interesting and unknown offseason for the Bulls. But thank you so much for listening. I'm Jordan Malley, co-host Matt Peck. You can download our podcast at Debatables on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Everywhere you find podcasts, you'll find us. Go to almightyballer.com/debatables. You'll find all of our episodes and content there. For Jordan Malley and Matt Peck, we are out. Deuces.
Do you look at my favorite team and do you fucking say that's a team that's committed to building a champion? Do you say that to yourselves?
Follow The Debatables on Twitter at Debatables. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or at almightyballer.com.